Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 of that same chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says to we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children or immature, tossed and fro about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Growing up spiritually. Now, we're looking at what it means to grow up spiritually. What exactly does spiritual growth entail? What is it and what is it not? And how does it come? Now, so far we've seen common misconceptions about spiritual growth. There are a lot of false ideas about spiritual growth. First of all, we said that spiritual growth is not salvation. Salvation is once and for all. Spiritual growth is continuous. It never stops. We also said that spiritual growth is not determined by how long you've been a Christian. Old age does not always equate wisdom. We saw the three friends of Job, old men, yet all of them were speaking rubbish. You see that God had to correct them. In fact, it was the youngest amongst the friends, Eliezer, who spoke wisdom. And it says in verse 9 of Job chapter 32, that great men or men of many years are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Only old age with the characteristics expected of old age should be honored. Proverbs 16 verse 31, it says, the silver-haired hair or the gray hair is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And I told you how that a family member got angry at me for not asking him for advice. You wonder, is it by force? Amen. He says to me, you never ask me for advice. Every time my pastor says, you know, and when he was saying all of that, you know, it's an elderly man, so I try to be as honorable as I can and be as respectful as I can. But in my mind, I just felt like, well, the reason why I don't ask you for advice is because I do not trust your judgment. Okay, I've seen how that same man handles issues. I've seen how superstitious he is. Okay, so he's not one who is spiritually wise or mature. Okay, so I'd rather ask someone who knows the word. Now, also, we said that spiritual growth is not an accumulation of Bible facts and information. What is the longest name in the Bible? What is the shortest book in the Bible? Knowing facts about the Bible is not the same as knowing the Bible. Theoretical facts about the Bible do not grow. What grows is the knowledge of Christ, self-transforming knowledge. That is, knowing who Christ is, what he has done, who you are because of what he has done, and knowing what is expected of you because of what he has done. That is what grows a man. We also said that spiritual growth is not mastering spiritual gifts. That a person can flow in the gifts of the Spirit is not proof of growth. God gives his gifts freely. Galatians 3 verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So God does not give his gifts because of what we do. And that's what Paul is saying there. So you can't use spiritual gifts alone as a yardstick to measure spiritual growth. A baby Christian can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't mean he's growing. We also said that spiritual growth is not the ability to pray long prayers or fast, although this can sometimes be proof of spiritual growth. Jesus warned that some use prayer and fasting for show off. Okay, does it mean that they are growing spiritually? You find that the Buddhists are known for long prayers. Okay, now, it doesn't mean that they are growing spiritually in the Bible sense. Spiritual growth is not also service, although the spiritually grown will serve. You see that Judas served Jesus for 3.5 years, yet his mind was somewhere else. So simply because a brother is active in church doesn't mean he's growing spiritually. We also said that spiritual growth is not measured by material prosperity. That a man is rich doesn't mean that he's in God's plan for his life. Solomon was the wealthiest man that ever lived. His net worth, $2.1 trillion, yet it was out of God's plan. Okay, now we say that God can bless us financially. He blessed Abraham materially. He blessed Isaac materially. He blessed Jacob materially. But material prosperity is not proof that a man is walking in the ways of God. Otherwise, you can say that every rich man on the earth today is walking in God's will. Okay, then lastly, we said that spiritual growth does not mean sinless perfection. That is not sinning again. As long as we are in this physical body, we would always have that propensity to sin. So even the most matured Christians still sin. But spiritual growth means that you would hate sin, you wouldn't like it when you sin, and you would be quick to repent. Then in the last service, we asked a question. We said that if salvation is already perfect and complete, alright, we are already righteous in Christ, heaven is our home already, why then are we left on the earth? And we gave three answers here. We said, number one, we are left on the earth to grow. So God has saved you. Now He wants you to grow in the knowledge of Him who saved you. You are a son of God, then you are left on the earth to show forth that sonship. Secondly, we said that we are left on the earth for the unsaved. You are saved, but there are others who are perishing. And God wants you to rescue them by preaching the gospel to them. Number three, we said that we are left on the earth to teach angels. Angels are not all-knowing. They learn from the church. So as we preach the gospel, angels are learning salvation. As we obey God, they are also observing and learning. Then we saw three kinds of men in Paul's revelation. The natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. The natural man is the unsaved man, we said. He who is ruled by the flesh. One who is sensual and is ruled by his appetites and lust. He thinks he has wisdom, but that wisdom is fleshly and demonic. Then the carnal Christian is a baby Christian, an immature believer, one who has refused to grow up spiritually. Now the word carnal should not be used for a Christian under normal circumstances. The word carnal means flesh ruled. Now you can't call a Christian flesh ruled. Okay, that's a term for the sinner. But where we find a Christian acting like a sinner, he's still thinking the same way he used to think before he got saved, we can call him carnal. That is acting like the unsaved. Okay, these are the ones who need spiritual things to be oversimplified for them to get it, we said. Okay, they are not growing spiritually. Then the spiritual man is the believer given to spiritual growth. He has allowed God's word influence his mind and his conduct, and he walks in the word. He can also teach others. Then we ended by saying that God doesn't want us to be carnal men. He wants us to be spiritual men. Hallelujah. Full grown, mature, and developed in the faith. So that's a brief summary from the last service. Then we'll pick up from there quickly today. Now, spiritual growth, we've said, is not to grow the spirit. You cannot grow or perfect your spirit. It has already been made perfect. You can improve on it. It is one with the Lord. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So spiritual growth is not to grow your spirit, but to grow in spiritual things. Do you follow that? It is growing the mind in things spiritual. Okay, we said that salvation doesn't give you spiritual or supernatural amnesia. How many of you, after salvation, all the bad songs you knew just left your mind immediately? Then all you knew was your song, right? You see that everything you knew remained, right? Now, what does that tell you? It shows that the contents of your mind stayed intact after salvation. So you now have the responsibility to renew your mind. Remove the junks there and replace them with God's word. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, you find that there. So spiritual growth takes place in the mind, actually, and is evident in our actions. The aim of spiritual growth is to make you a spiritual man, that is spiritual in how you conduct your life. Now, the epistles encourage the Christian to grow spiritually. You find various Greek words used to describe spiritual growth in the epistles. Now, number one, oxano. A-U-X-A-N-O. The last O accentuated, it means to mature, develop, or progress. This word was used in agriculture in Bible days for how plants grow or augment. That is A-U-G-M-E-N-T. Now observe its usage in the epistles. Let's run through how this word oxano is used. Ephesians 4 verse 15. Ephesians 4 verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, underline that, may grow up oxano in all things until aim is at Christ. Colossians 1 verse 10, similarly there, Colossians 1:10, that you may walk with you of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, underline increasing, oxano in the knowledge of God. First Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow, the line grow, oxano, thereby. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, on the line grow, oxano, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now the next word we have is teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. From telos. T-E-L-O-S, which means complete. Now teleos refers to one who is full grown, an adult, of full age, mature, someone who has traveled a long distance in a spiritual journey. It was often used in the context of knowledge, one who is mature in knowledge. Now observe how it's used. 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. It says, brethren, do not be children, paidion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N, an infant, that is, an immature Christian in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Underline understanding, underline mature, teleos, that is full grown. To be mature in understanding is the opposite of being a child in understanding. So the maturity here is gauged by understanding, that is knowledge. The maturity of the one who is grown will be found in his understanding. Teleos is also used Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, underline that of full age, teleos, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, underline from true to evil. Those who are full age are those who are able to discern both good and evil. They have knowledge. Also in Ephesians 4:13, it says to all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and learn from that to God, to a perfect man, a teleos man, a full-grown mature man. Underline that, okay? A perfect man to the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. Until we can be likened to a full-grown man in knowledge, that's what that means here. Okay? Then 1 Corinthians 2:6. 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, however, we speak wisdom, underline that, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, underline mature, teleos, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The wisdom is understood by the mature, those who are grown. This maturity also shows in character. Colossians 1:28. In we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we should present every man perfect, underline that, perfect, teleos, mature in Christ Jesus. Jesus uses this same word for moral uprightness. Matthew 5:48. It says, therefore you shall be perfect, teleos, that is morally upright, just as your Father in heaven is perfect, teleos, morally upright. Okay, so spiritual growth is to progress, mature, and develop in the knowledge of Christ and in Christ-likeness, that is, Christ-like conduct. Now, the New Testament also uses certain words to describe those who are not growing spiritually. Now, number one here, nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S, the E after N accentuated, nepios, it means an infant, okay, a simple-minded or immature person. It describes someone who is unlearned and unenlightened. Now, it is used in the following text. Ephesians 4:14. Let's run through that quickly. Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be children, nepios, underline children, immature spiritual babies, okay, or spiritual babes, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, underline babe, nepios, immature. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes, nepios, in Christ, that is, baby Christians. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Now the second word is paidion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N, paidion. It refers to one who thinks like a child, immature. Paul begs Christians not to be this way in 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children, paidion, infants, immature, in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Now these words Nepios and Pidion describe those who have remained the same since they got saved. So nothing has changed about how they think or act, alright? Spiritual babes, spiritual infants. Now let's see characteristics of spiritual infants. Okay, the characteristics of spiritual infants. Now there are signs of growth, right? And there are also signs of underdevelopment, a lack of growth. Even in nature, you can readily spot those signs. You know, if a baby remains the same for 30 years, you know there's a problem. Imagine a 30-year-old man saying, please carry me. But still wanting to be breastfed. You know there's a problem, right? Okay, because growth is expected. So you can tell whether a person is growing or not simply by observation. So let's see characteristics of spiritual infants. Those who are not growing, how do they look like? How can we tell that a person is not growing up spiritually? Now, number one, he has very little passion and enthusiasm for God or for the things of God. Now, every new convert loves the Lord initially. At salvation, he knows what God has done for him, how that he loved him and redeemed him from his sin. So there's usually a joy and passion for the Lord when a man is newly saved. Look at Acts 8 verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip on the line from Ida to Philip, that is, they believed, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Underline that. There was great joy in that city. So after the Samaritans believed, there was great joy. Do you see that? And passion in their hearts for the Lord. So there's usually that initial excitement that comes with being saved. A commitment to the Lord. You'll see a new convert say things like, I will serve Jesus all my days, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. You see that the early Christians had this also. Acts chapter 2 verse 41, quickly. Acts 2:41. It says, then those who had gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly, underline that, in the apostles' doctrine, underline doctrine, in fellowship, underline fellowship, in the breaking of bread, underline breaking of bread, and in prayers, underline prayers. Look at verses 46 to 47 of that same chapter. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, underline from continuing to temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they met daily. Do you see that? They loved the Lord and his people. Even Paul had this too, that initial excitement. You see that immediately he's saved, he begins to preach Christ. Acts 9:20. It says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, and learned from his synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews. Underline that. Confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Underline from proving to Christ. So usually those who are saved have encountered God in a unique way. Alright? They've encountered the gospel and they're on fire. So there is that initial passion, enthusiasm, and joy for the things of God. But this initial passion is not enough to keep the believer going. Do you follow that? Okay? The joy, passion, and commitment will dwindle gradually as the days go by if the man doesn't grow spiritually. Do you follow that? So it's okay to have that passion, that initial excitement when you're newly saved. But if that man doesn't grow spiritually, that passion will dwindle as the days go by. Are you following this? Okay? You see that God speaks of how Israel was devoted to him in our early years. Jeremiah 2:1. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, underline that. Kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, underline that, love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase, all that devour him will offend, disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Now observe the words in verse 2. It says, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal. Now this refers to Israel's initial commitment to God. So when Israel was still young, she was devoted. Do you see that there? Now this is expected. God had rescued Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand. Deuteronomy 7:8, Deuteronomy 26:8. So they trusted him. But this changed over time. Do you follow that? That initial excitement changed over time. See verse 11, Jeremiah 2. It says, as a nation changes gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They are forsaking me, underline that. They are forsaking me, the fountain of living waters, and in themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they abandon God for idols. So you can't live on that initial fire you had for God. Do you see that now? The initial commitment you had for God, the initial devotion you had for God, the initial love you had for God, that initial enthusiasm that you had for God. No. Are you committed now? That is what matters. Do you follow that? So a sign of spiritual underdevelopment is a decline in your passion for the Lord. You begin to love the Lord less. Your commitment reduces. Now this shouldn't be. The apostles told the early Christians to continue in what they had believed. It wasn't supposed to be a one-time thing. Your love for God and for His word ought not to be a thing of the past. Look at Acts 11:23. It says, when he, Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. Underline that. Encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Underline from day to Lord. Now I love that word continue. It translates the Greek prosmeno. PROSMENO, the last word accentuated. It means to wait longer, to remain with, to cleave unto, to stay steadfastly devoted to. The same word used in Acts 13:43, where Paul and Barnabas told the new converts at Pisidian Antioch to continue in the grace of God. Acts 13:43. It says, now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Underline that, to continue in the grace of God. Usually, the issue is not with starting, it is with continuing. You see that the Christians in Hebrews are started out well. Hebrews 6:10, let's see that quickly. Hebrews 6:10. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now the writer of Hebrews wants them to continue well. Verses 11-12 of that same chapter. It says, and we desire, the line that we desire, that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, and the line that until the end, that you do not become sluggish, and the line that, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's one thing to start out with the Lord, to be committed to Him. It's another thing to continue that way. So a sign that a person is not growing as they ought to is that such a person would dislike spiritual things. Okay, you will see prayer as a burden. You will see church meetings as inconvenient. You would study the Bible less. Okay, the Bible would begin to seem boring to him. His commitment to God and to his church would dwindle. So ask yourself this question and answer truthfully. Have you gotten better since you believed? Or has your passion declined? Alright, may we never have a better yesterday. Okay, may every day be our best day yet. Amen. Now number two here. Spiritual underdevelopment is usually accompanied by sinful behavior. When a person is not growing spiritually, he can easily give in to temptation. Now, not every sin is caused by spiritual underdevelopment, but many times that can be the root cause. Now, Corinth was a church full of very sinful acts. You see that they were divisive with a party spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:4. It says, for when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? They were immoral. You see that a man took his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 5:1. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that the man has his father's wife, and you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. They were walking in strife and suing one another to court. 1 Corinthians 6:1. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dear any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Wives were dishonoring their husbands by not dressing properly. 1 Corinthians 11:5. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Underline that, dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head was shown. And if a woman is not covered, let her also be shown. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shown or shaved, let her be covered. Verse 13 of that same chapter, judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? You see that it was a culture in 1st century Corinth that married women wear a veil in public. Okay, that was a honor to their husbands. Now the Corinthian women were not doing so. Also, they were greedy and not waiting for one another at a love feast. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? How shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Verses 33 to 34 of that same chapter. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Now they were misusing the gifts of the Spirit. The Corinthians flowed in the gifts of the Spirit mightily. Paul said that earlier in 1 Corinthians 1. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything, underline that, enriched in everything by him in all utterance, underline that, all utterance and all knowledge, underline that, all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, so that you come short in no gift, underline that, you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Corinthians were using these gifts to show off, not to edify. Paul explains that the gifts are to profit others, not yourself. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, or for the common good. Paul then shows them a more excellent way to use the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now that way is love. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Underline that, from bad to nothing. Flowing with the gifts of the Spirit in the absence of love is nothing. So Paul tells them to walk in love as they use the gifts of the Spirit. That would mean using the gifts to the end that others are edified also. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Let's run through that quickly. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Underline that. Edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even much more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongue, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. And learn from that to edification. Verse 12 of that same chapter. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church. Underline that. The edification of the church, that you seek to excel. Verses 16 to 17 of that same chapter. 16 to 17. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he occupy the place of the uninformed say amen and you're giving no thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Underline that. The other is not edified. Verses 18 to 19 of that same chapter. 18 to 19. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also. Underline that. From that to also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Verse 26 of that same chapter. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Underline from led to edification. Verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the learn from that to encourage. Verses 39 to 40 of that same chapter. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Underline that. From decently to order. So, Corinth had a lot of issues. And all these issues can be traced back to a single issue. Just one issue. They were not growing spiritually. Do you follow that? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, underline carnal, as to babes in Christ. Underline that, babes in Christ. This was the issue. Are you here? Okay, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Underline that, you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So, most times, Christians fall into sin too often because they are not letting God's word renew their minds. Okay? Oftentimes, such persons can even become comfortable in their sinful actions, whereby they share their conscience. Okay? Paul speaks of such ones, those who share their conscience. 1 Timothy 4:1, as we close. Please turn your Bible there. I want to see this. 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience shared with the hot iron. Underline that. From having to iron. The word shared translates the Greek katerizo. K-A-U-T-E-R-I-A-Z-O. The E after T accentuated, the last O accentuated, from where we get our English word to cauterize. It refers to burning with an hot iron to render nerve endings insensitive or numb. Okay, this was used to treat injury in ancient times. The person or animal born could no longer feel in that site where he was burned. Now, this word is used figuratively for a lack of feeling spiritually. So, such persons have burned their conscience. That's what Paul is saying here. They can no longer tell what is right or wrong. Okay, their conscience has been said, rendered insensitive. Okay, they don't see sin as wrong anymore. These are the ones who would go on to defend their sinful actions. You find Christians say things like, I'm human. He's sinning. You correct him. He says things like, but I'm a human being. No one is perfect. Okay, this is a sign of someone not growing up spiritually. Okay, he has gotten comfortable in sin. Now, number three here, uselessness in the kingdom of God. Uselessness in the kingdom of God. Now, a child cannot be entrusted with responsibility. You know, you can't leave a child in the kitchen with a gas stove, amen, to cook. You know, you're ready to see Jesus, right? So, those who have refused to grow won't add anything valuable to the body of Christ, all right? There will be liabilities. Only taking, never giving back, all right? Only taking, never giving back. Now, this should not be. The aim of spiritual growth is corporate participation. Okay, that everyone will do a share to grow the body, that everyone will bring something to the table. Ephesians 4 verse 13. Let's see this. Ephesians 4 verse 13. It says, to all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed and cried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, underline that, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, why do we grow? Okay, what is that growth for? Verse 16 of that same chapter. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, underline that, every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, underline that, every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that is God's plan for his church, that everyone will serve in a certain capacity. Do you see that there? Everyone, every part does its share. No one is left out. Okay, each one would use his individual gift to bless others. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 12 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, there are differences of ministries but the same Lord, there are diversities of activities but it is the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See that? On the line, for the profit of all or for the common good. Paul likens the church to a body. Okay? Very important illustration. Very important metaphor. whereby each organ is adding value to the body. Do you follow that? Each bodily organ is adding something to the body. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see that. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 12. If the foot should say, because I'm not an ear, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, will be the hearing. If the whole were hearing, will be the smelling. That is, we all need each other. You see that? We all need each other. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Now, these body members or organs are metaphors for ministry gifts. Verses 27 to 28 of that same chapter. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Underline that, members individually. And God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So, each member of the body is to function in one of these. This is how the body of Christ grows as a whole. Okay, but the underdeveloped Christian can add nothing to the body. Do you follow that? It's like an organ that is not functioning properly. Alright, it has refused to grow, so it cannot be useful to the body. It doesn't know much, so there is little it can do. So spiritual immaturity can be judged by a lack of responsibility. Usually, the spiritually mature are given to service. Now, number four here, worldliness. Okay, worldliness. Now, there's a word on Safe Thinking Act, Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, underline that, from us to walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. And learn from work to greediness. Ephesians 2:1. And he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we always conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and of our nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, after salvation, the Christian, who was once unsaved, is expected to renew his mind, that is, change how he thinks. Romans 12:1-2, as we close. Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and learn from beast to man, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the reason this is necessary is because, as we have said, salvation does not take away a person's memory, right? You still have your habits and thoughts intact even after being saved. So, a man can be saved and still be thinking like those of this world if he doesn't renew his mind. A spiritually immature Christian is one who has not renewed his mind, and this will show in his actions and in his disposition towards life. He will think and act like the unsaved man, even though he's saved. Okay? John calls this worldliness. 1 John 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world, or worldliness, the Greek says, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world or worldliness, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Underline that. What is of the world? Underline of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There's a way those of this world act. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and speak. 1 John 4:5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. Underline that. They speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Now, a believer who is worldly in his outlook on life hasn't grown spiritually. This is one who uses swear words, even though the Bible instructs us about our speech. Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. Such a one doesn't believe in sex after marriage, even though the Bible warns against fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:13, as we close. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both eating them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, underline that. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, underline that. For the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 18 of that same chapter, flee sexual immorality, underline that. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Underline that. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Similarly there. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, underline that, from that to immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, underline from in to lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. It would do anything just to make money, the immature Christian, even though the Bible teaches contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, underline that, from that to evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Hebrews 13 verse 5, similarly there. Hebrews 13 verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be without covetousness, underline that. Be content, underline that, okay, with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's saved, but still thinking like the unsaved do. He's carnal. Now, where a Christian exhibits these signs is in desperate need of spiritual growth. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him. We pick up from here.